2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
You're listening to Healthy Mind Matters on KSL News Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm Maria Chalais. Today we've been talking about harm reduction when it comes to drug use. With me, Heather Bush. She is the Syringe Exchange Program Coordinator for the Utah Department of Health. And Mindy Vincent, the Executive Director of Utah Harm Reduction Coalition. And let's talk about, Heather, just start out and talk about, if people really do need help, how exactly do they get involved in the Syringe Exchange Program? How does it work?
Sure. Syringe Exchange can take many different forms. We currently have three providers in the state. So if people want more information about it, they can always email us at syringeexchange@utah.gov. I know it's got that .gov, but don't be afraid. It just comes to me.
And they don't actually do the Syringe Exchange.
The government
doesn't participate.
Exactly. So we can then refer them to where they can go, what are some of the resources where they can go get it. Mindy and her organization, she can talk about how they work. But really, like I said, it's confidential. Anyone can access Syringe Exchange. They don't have to. Lots of times people associate people who inject drugs with people who are homeless, even though there may be a crossover. There's many people who are housed and have jobs and have lives, and they can access it. And so it's, like I said, it's free, it's confidential, it's legal. And lots of times when people do contact me, I say, here's where you can go. Just show up and tell them you're there. They will walk you through everything. So it may seem a little nerve-wracking at first, or, you know, embarrassing or scary, but, you know, as soon as they get there, they're able to just get that support they need. And I'll let Mindy talk a little bit about what it looks like when somebody comes in.
So when somebody comes to a Syringe Exchange, we do a full risk assessment on them for their risk behaviors and see how high they are at risk for certain types of harms. We offer them free HIV and hepatitis C testing, and then we create that service plan that I spoke of earlier that is similar to a treatment plan. So people give us at least two goals that they want to work on, ways that they want to improve their situation, and then we follow up with case management and try to link them in with whatever resources they may need. As I said, we have an outpatient substance abuse treatment program. So when people are ready for outpatient, we can link them in with our outpatient, or if they need residential, we have agreements with lots of we have so many wonderful treatment programs. We have, you know, kind of agreements with all of them. We can help get people into treatment. We sign people up for Medicaid. We ourselves are TAM providers. So we do all sorts of things to help reduce those barriers. And then, but while people are still actively using, they come in exchanges as often as they need to. We have exchanges 6 days a week in three counties. And then we continue to follow up every month. We follow up on these service plans and kind of see the progress on the goals, check to see if they're still at risk to contract HIV or hepatitis C, you know, offer them testing again. If people do test positive, we get them into treatment.
And they also provide overdose prevention information and access to naloxone.
Yep.
And that's, I think that Mindy's really bringing up the good point that a lot of people think about Syringe Exchange is just about exchanging syringes. And that's a tongue twister for you. it's actually about all those services, and it's about the connections and making different connections, because even Mindy's organization, as amazing as they are, they can't do everything, but she has relationships with many different agencies, and our various Syringe Exchange providers work with each other because they have different strengths and different focuses, and they have different abilities.
We serve different populations, too.
Right. And, you know, most of these organizations are doing this on very little funding. There is no direct Syringe Exchange funding. We've been able to leverage some funds from some different places and support them the best we can. can, but most of this is it's very grassroots and very, you know, just minimal as far as the funding that goes into it. But a lot of it comes about making those connections and the different pieces of the community coming together to help people. Because there are a lot of services out there. Just lots of times people either have had a bad experience or don't know how to connect. And every time they come in for syringes, which may be 6 times a week, it may be several times, but every time they come in is another opportunity to connect with them and provide them with that support, that information, that those resources. And so that's part of the whole process is it brings them in, they're able to engage, and we're able to help people in different ways when they're ready for different types of help.
Mindy, you want to add another resource that's available?
Yeah, so we have, you know, through our harm reduction lens and through my own professional and personal experience too, at UHRC we ended up starting a community recovery group called Rebel Recovery, and it meets every Saturday at 6:30 at UHRC, on Sundays at 11 a.m. at UHRC, and it's a place where we really do welcome all pathways to recovery. We don't require, at our treatment and for Rebel Recovery, we don't require abstinence as a goal for recovery. We also don't require it to engage in treatment or engage in our recovering community. Not everyone recovers the same. Just because someone had an issue with one substance doesn't mean they have an issue with all substances. Most people try to obtain abstinence, and that is wonderful. We support that. But we also support other pathways too, such as medication-assisted therapy, cannabis-assisted therapy. That's an intervention that I should have brought up. It's important that we talk about making medical cannabis available to people with substance use disorders, specifically opioid use disorders. When people recover and they've come out of the, you know, the depths of the darkness that Heather talked about from an opioid addiction specifically, and then we turn around and tell them that their only option for pain management or their only option for acute pain, chronic pain, all sorts of different illnesses is to, again, take an opiate, that is literally signing a death sentence for some people. And we need to allow access to a safer alternative. And it really doesn't matter if people think that medical cannabis works or not. If somebody who has an opioid, a previous opioid addiction, feels like that works better for them than an opioid, then we should absolutely honor that, because we should never put somebody in a position where they may have to go back where they came from because they did not have a safer alternative.
Where is the best place for someone to turn for information? Whether this be a loved one or someone who is using, what is the best place?
Well, one service that we're rolling out right now is 211. We're really partnering with them. The Utah Department of Health is partnering with them to get them really proficient on harm reduction and referring people to Syringe Exchange if that's what they need. But they also are very proficient on referring people to various substance abuse treatment options, as well as a whole variety. So that's a really good place to start. It's really simple. Everyone can remember it. You just call 211 or 211.org and be able to access a lot of those services. And that's just across the board.
I would recommend, though, like, because 211, I love 211, and it's huge. It's very inundating. Like, if you're trying to get into treatment, 211 is not going to be your best route, because there's funding, there's things that you have to worry about, funding mechanisms, sure, and sorts of stuff like that. So I really would recommend reaching out either directly to a treatment provider, or please reach out to us at Utah Harm Reduction Coalition, because, you know, if you need help with Syringe Exchange, we are the largest provider. We do provide treatment ourselves. We do the testing ourselves, and we do link people into resources, and we can at least get you to where you're going probably much faster. Mm-hmm. So you can contact us through our Facebook. We have our Utah Harm Reduction Coalition page, the Rebel Recovery page, the Syringe Watch page, because another thing we do is we go clean up syringes in the community, because I have felt like since starting this program, that's our job too, is to help clean up this community. I'm a mom too. If my kid ever stepped on a syringe, heads would roll, even if it was my client, right? So we try to help mitigate that. So you can contact us through any of those venues. You can contact us through our website, www.utahharmreduction.org. Call us at our office, 801-569-1995. We're not hard to find. But also, okay, the Utah Syringe Exchange Network, when you look that up on the Utah Health Department's website, you can get linkages to all of us. So that's always very helpful.
And like I said, syringeexchange@utah.gov is a great email to get straight to me, and we can refer you to Mindy, to other resources. So there's a lot of ways in. But, you know, sometimes it does. Sometimes it can be daunting. And sometimes I just tell people, sit down on the phone and just start calling people. And you may get passed around a lot. You may get a little frustrated sometimes. But there are people out there to help. And just keep pursuing it until you find the answers that you need.
Thanks to both of you. I want to also give, for those who may need it, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. And also let our listeners know that if they just caught a portion of the program, they can go back and listen to the entire podcast, which is available at Healthy Mind Matters, wherever you find your podcasts. And you've been listening to Healthy Mind Matters on KSL News Radio.